Hey girl, welcome to the Empower Her podcast, where we are all about taking purpose-driven action toward building lives we really freaking love. My name's Keisha, and I'm a saucy 29-year-old who left the corporate world to go on to build a seven-figure online business. But most days, I still feel like I have no clue what I'm doing, but I'm obsessed with the process of us getting to figure it out together. We've got epic guests, incredible stories, tips, and tricks to help us get out of our own way and unapologetically make some moves. So girlfriend, let's do the damn thing. Hey girl, I'm so pumped that you are here for today's episode. On the show, we have my girl, Angie Lee. If you don't know Angie, she is just saucy and authentic and she's so funny, but she's also an incredible entrepreneur. At only 28 years old, she's built a seven-figure business teaching people how to build their businesses and brands and sell through social media. In addition, she's got an incredible podcast with over 5 million downloads. She is a speaker. She's working on her first book right now. She actually just launched an event for female entrepreneurs, and her and her brother are building out a physical product with their new company called Soul CBD. Safe to say, homegirl is doing lots of things, and she's got a lot of experience and tangible advice for us about fear and failure and stepping into being the person that you've always wanted to be, but something in your head has told you that you can't. Well, we're going to shake that up and we're going to dive right in. So let's do this. All right. Hi, Angie. You're here. Welcome to the show.
Woohoo!
I'm really pumped to have you.
Let's
seriously.
Party. And by party, I mean give them some knowledge and some fun.
Yes, we're going to do that for sure. So I need to give a quick little like backstory to kind of tee this up. And then we want to get into like imposter syndrome and fear and all your juiciness.
Let's do it.
First, Angie, for those of you guys that don't know Angie, she has this amazing event. It's called Pays to Be Brave and it's in San Diego. And I went to this event and I got punched in the face. Not actually.
I saw her in the bathroom and I punched her in the face.
No, I basically got punched in the face to take action to actually start this podcast. So I came back from the event and I said, I'm starting this podcast and I have no idea how to start a podcast. So I took a course that Angie made about how to start a podcast. Because it's not a lack of resources, it's a lack of resourcefulness. And I wasn't going to be that girl. So Angie is the reason that I started this podcast. So it only seems appropriate to have Angie as the very first guest. You guys are going to love her. On her website, she says that she's a mix of if Ellen DeGeneres and Tony Robbins had a baby, but she's really little, which is so cute. She's a very little human with a lot of attitude. So
I am barely 5 feet full of all the energy though.
I'm so excited. So let's give them a little bit of a backstory before we get into some, you know, we're all about taking action on this podcast and having tangible things that we can actually implement to build lives that we love. So I know your wheelhouse is, you know, talking about fear and imposter syndrome and taking action, which is why I love you. But they need a little bit of backstory. So take us back, maybe not like straight out the womb, but like the last, you know, 5 to 10 years that you've really been building your personal brand, and kind of give us the backstory.
Yeah, the cliff notes is that in college, I decided I hated school, I hated college. So I thought, what am I going to do with my time since I don't go to class? Sorry, mom, not sorry. And so I started this blog. I started on Blogspot, on Facebook, on MySpace. I would post these fitness tips. I became a personal trainer. I was getting my nutrition and dietetics degree. I became obsessed with health and wellness. And I'm a 7 on the Enneagram, if you've taken this test, which is an enthusiast, which means we love to just share what we love. We're born to literally... Are you a 7?
I am a 7.
You're so a 7. Okay, so 7s. Take this quiz, you guys. It's fascinating. It explained a lot about me. We're literally born just to have a good time, entertain people. My business was built from just thinking it'd be a good idea. I know that sounds weird, but I love just sharing my life and sharing tips. And so I was obsessed with health and wellness, started sharing this on these blogs and made these videos. And I just stayed consistent. And over time, what I was seeing is that I was able to monetize this. I would sell little ebooks online, a little bit of coaching here and there, nothing too serious, until the natural marketer and entrepreneur in me was really craving and taking it to the next level. And so I walked into my counselor's office one day. I had about six months left to go to graduate. And I walked in and I said, I'm out. I'm done. I don't want to be a dietitian working 40 hours a week, maybe more, making 40 grand a year. I'm not doing this. I'm not going to work in a hospital. And so I said, peace out to college. I had some corporate jobs in between there or on summer breaks, advertising, dietetics assistant, and it just didn't feel right. Nothing felt good. I would always come home or on the train ride to my internships or to my jobs, I'd be sitting there blogging or answering to my audience. And so what happened at 20 years old is I started unintentionally building this personal brand. Personal branding wasn't even really a thing then. It was just, you're a blogger, but that wasn't really your job. And you couldn't call your parents and say, I want to be a blogger. They'd be like, Angie, are you on crack? Like, you can't be a blogger. What is that? Right? My dad's like, what is that? Oh my God, you're going to be homeless, you know? And so I just stuck with it. I always say this is like my little Gary Vaynerchuk moment where I anticipated that social media was going to blow up. It was going to be the future, and this technological revolution was going to be how we communicated. And I anticipated a little bit and I forecasted it. And so all I remember every day is thinking, I just have to build an audience. I have to put myself out there. I have to build an audience. So I just kept building it over time. That blew up. And then after health coaching, a few years of that online, women started to reach out. And I'll always remember the first email of this woman who wrote me and said, you're really great at branding and marketing and sales. Can you teach me how you've done it? And wow. I was kind of thrown off a little bit because marketing and business coaches wasn't really a thing, but I Googled and looked up if it was a thing. Can people teach that? So on the side, I started teaching some of my health clients who wanted help with health and wellness, but who also wanted to start a blog and how to monetize their website, taught them that. Next thing you know, I built this huge business around teaching health and wellness coaches how to monetize their online brands. And so it really came from me doing it, me finding the love of it. And then what happens a lot of times in life, if you're listening to this, maybe you're in a career or in a transitional period, your passion kind of comes to you because people start to point it out and say, hey, you're good at that. You want to help me with that? And I was like, I don't know. I didn't go to school for marketing, but I guess I could teach you. Yeah. And I became fascinated with it, learning everything I could, studying as much as I could, hiring all the coaches, investing in all the things, and took it to the next level. And in there, I actually did some network marketing with a wellness company and did really, really well at a really young age. So I've kind of dabbled in all the different spaces. I own a physical product now. My brother and I have owned some companies. So basically, the last 10 years have been entrepreneurial roller coaster.
I love
that. Keeping
that short, though.
So it's not 20 minutes long.
No, I love that though. It's so helpful to have some backstory. So, okay, now fast forward a little bit to now. Kind of talk to us about, I mean, you're a young entrepreneur. Yeah. You have the multiple, like, big name, I mean, big brands, and you're building businesses. Like, what is it? What's it like to be you now? Great question, so, right?
I grew up really fast. My parents went through a really, really bad divorce, which required me to kind of be an adult before I wanted to be. So I find that I have this really unique personality and that I'm a kid, but I'm also very mature and driven. So I have a lot of these different elements to me, but I am a pure ENFP 7. So it's for me, it's a lot of play. It's a lot of fun. And I've hired smarter people around me to help me manage it and build it. But I have found that it's been weird for me to step into it. I think I don't know if I fully identify with all of it yet. And so I still feel like I have so much I want to do, of course. So I think I haven't even started. Like, it just got started. I literally feel like now, after Pays Be Brave, I ask myself that question, what do I want to do with my life? What do I want to do when I grow up? And everyone else sees it as they think I have it all figured out. And I'm sitting there like, what do I want to do with all of this? I built this brand. I built this audience. What's next? And so that's what I'm here to figure out. And that's a good reminder for all of you listening. There's never a day where you just have it all figured out or you feel like you've made it. You never feel like you've made it. There's always more money to make. There's always more people to help. There's always more shit to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it's such a good reminder too, because I mean, if you're in that growth mindset and you want to constantly be evolving, I think a lot of people that are going to listen to this are thinking, hey, I have this gut feeling that I want to do something, right? I don't know what it is. Maybe it's start a blog, it's start a business, it's leave the job, maybe leave the relationship that they're in. And they have this fear that they can't do it because they're not qualified. Maybe they would look at someone like you or someone that they admire and say, well, good for her, but I can't do it. Yeah. I would love if you could just talk to us a little bit about kind of the fear and how you take that energy from fear and turn it into excitement, because I think that's a really a very powerful tool that you tap into often.
Yeah. I feel as if we always have two choices, either step into that fear and play with it and move forward and use it as this fuel or this leverage, or you use it as your worst enemy. And so, especially when I was really young doing health coaching and this life coaching stuff, I thought, who am I to be 22 years old teaching these people, even though I thought I was pretty good and I got results. It was interesting to have that imposter syndrome. And now it's, I'm too young to write this book. I'm too young to, there's always something where I feel like it's not enough, or I'm too not something enough for it. So I think that feeling never really goes away. And I feel as if you have to start seeing it as something that's completely normal, and it's actually really good. And it means you care. And so, especially if you ladies listening are looking to start an online business, there's always going to be someone better than you, quote unquote. But know that what you see on the internet isn't always what's really going on anyway. It's not like she really has all of the answers. And so it's never the person with the most knowledge who gets what they want. It's the person who asked for what they want and raised their hand and took action. And so my superpower is just standing up and raising my hand and saying, I want that. I'm going to go get it. I don't care if I'm not the smartest girl in the room. I'll Google it. I'll figure it out. I don't have a master's in marketing, blah, blah, blah. But I've made, you know, over 7 figures in teaching marketing online. So it doesn't really, we live in such a weird time in history where it's now come down to who wants it more, who's going to take action and put in the work, not who has their face in a book or who on paper looks like they're the most credible source. Even with health and wellness, for safety reasons, of course, I think get a certification, cover your ass legally. But at the end of the day, I know nutritionists with a double master's in biology and chemistry and dietetics who don't know shit about how to inspire someone to stay on their diet or to help them or to get them to make changes. And then there's health and wellness bloggers who are changing the world and getting humans to get healthy and lose weight or whatever it is they want to do. And so who is anybody to do anything? I always say Beyonce poops, which means at the end of the day, literally nobody is nobody and anybody can be anybody, which means I'm nothing special. I actually think I have so much I still need to do, and I just want it more. I just really want it. Yep. And I just don't take no for an answer, you know?
I love that. that's
Beyonce
so true.
Poops, you guys.
Beyonce, that's going to be the little
clip. You can do it. You can do it.
Yep, everyone can do it. So do you have any like tangible tips for someone that's actually like, I hear you, you're awesome, but how do I do this? Like, how do I take action? What's the first step that I can take towards moving towards something that I want to do? Is there any like tangible things that you can be like, this is how I get myself primed to take action?
Yeah, it depends what she wants to do. Is this someone who you think wants to start a coaching business or?
Yeah, start a coaching business or maybe even just like make a career change, but they feel that like fear.
Yeah.
What
I like to do is, one, I do a pros and cons list on a piece of paper. I'm very visual. So I'll get out a whiteboard or a journal and literally write, what are the pros of taking action on this? What are the cons? And then I also do which is called the fear matrix, or I call this the opportunity loss. So on a piece of paper, I'll write what would be the benefit of me doing this? And then what would it actually cost me if I don't do it as well? And so this is a lot of people in their corporate position. A lot of people when they're in their corporate job, let's say they're making 80 grand a year and they've got it all comfy and it's all great and they go to their job every day and everything's smooth. They have a secure income. They've got the 401k. They often are more afraid to lose the 80K than they are of losing the potential of what they could have made if they leave the job. And if they leave the job, they could end up making 280K. But instead, the human is, we're so ingrained for comfort. Our primal brain is so ingrained to stay in the same place and have that homeostasis. And so we think, well, if I don't have the 80K, I'll have $0, instead of thinking, what could it be? And so walking yourself through that process is really scary. It's no different in relationships. We're afraid to leave comfortable because, God forbid, there's nobody, but really there could be something even greater. And so it's the same shit. We're all afraid of leaving good for great. We're all afraid of knowing what it really could be. And I think it always comes down to fear. So I like to journal it out. I think as far as zone of genius and knowing what to do with your life, that is like the big question I get is, what should I do? I don't think you sit there and, I don't know if that comes to you in a ceremony or while you're, you know, like I don't think that's like
meditating
That was me meditating, doing drugs or something. I don't know if that's when it comes down to, and it's just one thing you're going to do for the rest of your life and that's it. Right. I think we're multi-passionate humans. I think I'm here to do a lot of things. I think I'm here to play and explore and see what those are, listen to some gut callings and then act on it and see if it feels good. And again, you can see the keyword here is action and messy action.
Yep.
And through that action, I find clarity, but it's not one thing that you have to do for the rest of your life and that's it. And I've given up on that because I was so obsessed with that for so long. And that's what caused me paralysis is when I was in those jobs and I knew I wanted to go full time, I was like, is it a blogger? Is it not? Is it this? And I just was so obsessed with the details instead of just saying, Angie, why don't you try this? Why don't you try that? Why don't you see what this would feel like? I didn't know I would like podcasting as a job until I started it and saw if I liked it. You don't know what you don't know what you don't know. And so I wish more women were not afraid to just look stupid and be embarrassed a little bit and try a bunch of things out. And through that process, you'll find what you love.
I think that you nailed it. And I often talk about how inaction breeds so much fear and all of that negative self-talk that you start spiraling in your head. And you've played it out to this like monstrous thing when in reality, it's not that difficult.
Yep.
And I mean, you can attest to this with even podcasting. I remember thinking like, I don't know what the tech stuff is. How am I going to do this? Like, you know, I could stay comfortable doing something that I'm really comfortable with, or I could add something else that brings fear. Yeah. And I think what you nail on your podcast so often is when you're in that state where you're wanting to grow, that's when all the magic is happening that kind of elevates you to the other things and the other paths that you might also want to take in addition.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. And I've dealt with a lot of anxiety. I share this on my show. I used to have debilitating anxiety attacks. And so I feel for women who are in that anxious state. And all I can tell you is that that inaction is what causes and enhances the anxiety. And anxiety actually diminishes when you get to that place of action and realize, oh, it's not as bad as I thought. Or, oh, I could try this out and I'll see. I don't have to keep Googling the answers or keep hiring another person to tell me what the answers are. You'll figure it out as you go. And so the moral of the story is you and I could try to hold her hand as long as we can, but until she jumps, she'll really never be able to find her own net and do it. And this is kind of the discussion of learning to love fear and face it head on versus running away from it.
Absolutely. So girl, listening to this, gotta jump. Jump, girl.
Jump,
awesome.
Jump.
Yes. So let's talk a little bit about other people's opinions, right? Because I think that, so some people are, you know, I'm in a state of fear because I don't know how to do this. I don't feel like I'm capable or I don't feel I'm qualified. But then there's the people that are like, I know that I'm qualified to do this thing that I want to do, but I'm so worried about, you know, we got to use Sally Sue because nobody knows a Sally Sue. Sally Sue is like chirping in my ear that I can't do this, or who do I think that I am to do this? Can you talk to us a little bit about how you managed early on and how you currently manage as you start to elevate? Because obviously every different level of your life, you're going to struggle with this in a different way.
New level, new devil.
New level, new devil. Yeah. So can you talk to us a little bit to that girl specifically, who's like, I hear you, Angie, but I don't like, but you don't have a Sally Sue chirping.
I have 10,000 Sally Sues.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting as humans that we live our lives so much based on what other people want us to do. And it starts with these two people that made us called our parents. And right now, whether we like it or not, we all have these childhood wounds that have affected our entire life and a lot of the decisions we've made up until about 30, when most of us have this awakening of, oh my God, that's from my dad, or oh my God, that's what my mom wanted me to do. Holy shit. And it's like you wake up to reality. The umbilical cord is cut. Holy crap. So it's first realizing that I always say there's two things. Sally Sue, one, doesn't pay my bills, and two, she doesn't go to sleep at night with me.
She probably doesn't.
Things just got sexual, but it's true. And who goes to bed at night with my, it's me. I'm the one who puts my head, like my head on my pillow and has to be okay with my life and what I'm doing. And I'm the one who owns my bank account. And so at the end of the day, they can have a say. And I see it as almost humorous now. I use humor a lot to cope and play with things, but it's almost it's almost one of those things where if you're going to let that stop you from what you want, that's the worst reason. I think it's one of the like most low vibe reasons to not do what you want to do is because other people think that it's silly or it's stupid. And remember, when someone is coming at you with confusion or fear, there's always anger underneath that. And so they're just coming from fear. She's afraid. She's jealous. She maybe wants to be you. Maybe you're a girl who's crushing it in network marketing and you're at the top and you're doing really well. And this girl from high school sees it on Facebook and secretly wants to be you because she's sitting in her cubicle and she's sad. So instead of processing that as a human and congratulating you, she wants to attack you or tell you it's stupid. And knowing that humans usually, it's never personal. Never take it personal. So I've had to learn that as I've grown my brand and now I'm being pulled in a lot of different directions and I hear a ton of feedback and 99.9% of it's great, but there's always like one person who doesn't like it or didn't like the episode or blah, blah. And knowing that that's not actually my job to hold on to that.
Right.
That's her issue and that's her problem. And so you have to get to this point where I like to say I care, but I don't care.
Right. Yeah.
If that makes sense. So
you care more what you think.
I care so much about humans. I wouldn't do this if I didn't care. But I also don't give a shit what anyone thinks. So you have to have this healthy level of knowing whatever I post, I go to bed knowing if that was truly me and truly from my heart and authentic, post up, done, or press publish on the episode. And if 98% of people love it, then I did my job. My job's not here to, I'm not here to, and you and I, we're not here to please everyone.
Right.
That's a really good question. There's no one answer. There's no one pill for it, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, of course. And I think it's just so helpful to hear someone from their perspective. Like why I love podcasting, and I think this is such a cool medium, is you get to hear a conversation in your ear, in the produce section of Trader Joe's, or like wherever someone is matching their socks. I always think about those things for some reason. No one does that. But, you know, like a real conversation that's like, this is how this person's brain works. Yeah. I wonder what I can connect with because obviously every single person is unique. But what is there something that she's saying that's like, oh,
yeah,
I can take that little nugget, right?
100%. That's why I started podcasting as well. I really resonate with you on that with the belief system. If I can tap into how this woman who's successful believes and know what her belief system is, and I can create the life I want because beliefs dictate everything. My belief system is that I care, but I don't care, like I told you. And my mission outweighs Susie Sue. What was
it? Sally
Sue. Her name, obviously.
She doesn't matter. It's
doesn't matter. I forgot her name. But my mission is so clear to me and I can feel it. It's so visceral. It's so visual and it's just so there and it's so part of me that it's like a bulldozer. There's nothing that really matters to me because what I want is so clear and I know what I'm here to do on this earth. And it took me a long time to figure that out and get that feeling. But if a few little flies are trying to get the light bulb, it's like, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Be the light. Forget about the flies.
I love that. It's great. So in terms of someone, like I'd love to hear, you just recently did an episode that I'll link in the show notes about fear for a couple of different major things that have happened in your life. Can you pick like one that you want to talk about? Because there's a couple of them. And walk us through the feeling that you had before, whether that's your first live event, getting your breast implants removed, like whatever it is that resonates with you most right now. And talk to us a little bit about how you felt before and kind of how you managed through that.
That's a really good question. I'll talk about the event. I think that would probably be the most helpful to these women. Obviously, there's a lot of females listening though. So if you have implants or thinking about them, shout out to that episode. Go listen because I think you'll...
Yeah.
Huge eye-opening. That was something that was very near and dear to my heart and a mission that is very very important to me as well. But I... Because it's crazy. Paisley Brave actually was more terrifying than going under anesthesia. So anesthesia, you don't really remember it. Paisley Brave, I had to be there for all of it.
Yeah. So can you give a little context for people that don't know what Pays to Be Brave is?
Yeah, Pays to Be Brave is my live event. It's an entrepreneurial event for women. It's a confidence conference and marketing conference. So it's this mix of woo-woo mindset, but then also business, sales, a lot of direct teaching. So my mission is to keep growing with it. And it's going to change even again next year, the format a little bit. But the
premise- It was amazing. I was there.
And
I was shaking my butt and breaking my hand with notes. It was so good.
Shaking my butt.
Yeah.
And my mission is, I'm obsessed with talking about fear, obviously.
Yeah.
I love it. It's what my book's going to be about. So I love studying the human brain and why are we afraid and why do we do what we do and not do what we do. And so my mission with Pays to Be Brave is to have the whole underlying message be, yes, it's about business, but it's about completely stepping outside your comfort zone, whether that's through exercises, journals, meditation, speakers, getting people to leave and be like, holy shit, life is so short. I'm going to strap on and I'm jumping off the plane.
Yeah.
That's really the mindset I want people to have. And I've always been afraid my whole life, not feeling fully safe and suffering from anxiety from that. So this is almost my mission to myself, to teach other women that living a brave life always pays off. And that's why I called it Pays to Be Brave.
Yeah, I love it. That's great.
So I was preparing for it. It took about 6 months to plan. Emotionally, it's a ton because you're holding a lot of weight of anticipation of meeting all these women. What is it going to be like? All the speakers. What's going to happen? What's going to show up? I don't know what the decorations look like. I don't know what it visually looks like. I saw the location once. Financially, it was $200,000 to put on, which I'm super open about because I think girls are very curious about that stuff. So
yeah,
that's a big chunk of change. I think to be like, okay, here we go. Let's see what happens.
That's like a mansion in the Midwest. Like, I don't know.
What, I know.
It's house like, value. That's a like big a house.
Nice. Yeah. And so, a nice mansion. And so that was intense. The financial aspect, the emotional aspect, more of the emotional was more stressing me out of what to expect and preparing myself and will I be enough and am I ready and should I just wait a little bit or I'll just cancel it. It's kind of a stupid idea, but it just kept burning in me of something I want to do. And I kept telling myself, similar to what I'm teaching you ladies, if I don't start, I'll never know. If I don't take the first step, how can I expect to be at the second step? If I want to be the next Tony Robbins, who am I to just sit around and wait for that to happen? I have to start somewhere. I have to start from day one. And so you have to start. It might be ugly. It might be embarrassing. It might be weird. It might be awkward. But I can't say, I won't be able to step on stage at 38 and be Tony Robbins or whatever that looks like. Obviously, my own version of myself, but using him as an example and be like, oh, this was great and easy and I didn't learn anything and no life lessons and I didn't start. I waited till I was ready to start.
Yeah.
Who does that? And so I pulled the trigger. I hired the planner. I put it down. I just like bit the bullet and I got a support system around me and I put myself on the line, whether that was financially, emotionally, my support system. I verbally announced it and said, this is what's happening. This is what I'm doing. The first ticket sale came in and I was wanting to poop my pants. I'm like, this is real. They're showing up. This is crazy.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. So I walked myself through that process.
So the accountability, huge, that public accountability, tribe, obviously huge of getting the right people around you, people that know something about putting on an event and know things that you don't know. So thinking about it from someone listening, that's making any type of decision, maybe they're not putting on an event, but it's like, hey, tip, have accountability in some regard, right? Public accountability, obviously telling your audience, like a lot of them that aren't podcasters, it's like telling someone that's important to you and getting some skin in the game. Maybe that is financially, you know, investing in that course or whatever it may be, get that skin in the game, have accountability, and then just like do the damn thing. Because
do the damn thing. Yeah. No, the worst case scenario isn't that bad. You won't die. So I wrote down, what is the very worst thing that will happen? I played it out. Not where I sat in it too long, but I played it out real quick. And it was, your mom only shows up and the DJ plays the wrong song. Like I went to the very worst thing and I was like, all right, I wouldn't die though. So I was like, okay. And then I sat and I wrote down, I'm more into mantras. So in a journal, hundreds and hundreds of times, I'll write what I want. And I wrote, I can't wait to serve 500 people at Pays to Be Brave. I can't wait to meet all of these incredible women. I can't wait for 500 women to walk in the doors. I wrote this out hundreds of times and you can see it in my journal from 8 months ago and it didn't exist. And that's exactly what happened. And so I saw it before it happened. Yep. I played worst case scenario. I realized I wouldn't die. And then I also made a promise to myself, and I mentioned this at the event, whether this is the younger girl inside all of you who have a dream, or it's your current self who wants to follow through on something, I wasn't going to let myself down. And if I canceled it, I feel like I was letting all of you guys down because these are women who were, a lot of them were really nervous and they're in this same position, whether it's launching their first course or putting themselves out there. So who am I as a role model if I quit on it and I'm afraid? And so it was a commitment to my community and they didn't know this, but they held me accountable too.
Oh yeah, crazy. Absolutely. And I think one thing I just want to highlight again that is a tool that I use too, is playing it all the way out and like getting to the end that I'm not going to die. And I mean, even with starting this podcast, I played it all out and I was like, okay, Billy Bob down in his basement, chugging Haterade, is going to be like, Keisha, your podcast sucks. Your mic was weird. You make too many noises and like, you suck. Okay. Didn't die. I think I'm fine. Let's go. Right. So
exactly. And you'll get one. I got my creepy dude troll and he knew where I lived, which was even more creepy. That's okay. Another episode.
Noted.
We'll put
yep. We'll have you back on to talk about that.
Knew everything. So just wait for that iTunes review. So you just, you roll with the punches. And my last thing I'll say about this, ladies, this is really important, is you'll rise to the occasion. And so when you're ready to be a mom, most moms aren't ready. It's not like, okay, Tim, let's have a baby and we'll be ready. Look at our finances are in order. The house is all ready. My job is stable. You're ready. I'm ready. We're both emotionally stable humans. It's not the conversation that goes down. It looks like this. Oh my God, I'm pregnant. What are we going to do? This is great though. I'm excited. Okay, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Same thing with a business. So what happened is Angie had to evolve into someone who was prepared for it. And surprisingly, because I trust myself more than anyone in this world, when it got shit got tough or it got hard with planning it or the day of or that weekend, I knew what to do and I knew how to handle it. And I just became who I needed to be. And so a lot of times what we're craving is who we're going to become in that process, what that woman is. And I'm proud of her more than the sparkly events and the grass moss wall with the neon light and
that
shit.
Like,
I'm proud of her who stuck through it, had to mature a lot through this. And knowing that whatever you ladies are going through, you'll figure it out. It's like you with the podcast. Of course you'll figure it out. You're a smart girl. It's not rocket science.
Yeah.
I don't think. I've never been an astrophysicist or whatever, you know? I mean, we're both like way too cute to be that smart. So it's like, we figured it out, you know? Ladies, you'll figure it out. I think people don't give themselves enough credit.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I don't know. I have to be someone else to go do that. I am not going to be someone who knows how to plan events and then plan an event. No, you woman up. I almost said man up. But you woman, and you figure it out.
I love it. Okay. I want to ask you one more question before we move into the final two questions, which is, can you talk to us about the book and what the book process is like for anyone that's like thinking about starting anything? If you guys could see her, she just licked her microphone. I don't know what she did. It looked like a little gremlin move. But anyway, tell us about the book and the fears around the book and maybe what it's actually like to write a book.
Yeah. So I'll be really open about how I'm doing it. Every author is different. This is how a lot of authors do it now. My zone of genius is more speaking. I do like writing. I'm a good writer, but I'm not like the best writer. I could be better, of course. So usually what you do is you start with a draft. My team or a ghostwriter supports you in getting that into the initial draft of the first few chapters. And they're taking, it's auditory, and then they write it. So I can just podcast, and they're taking all my podcasts and putting it into the book with the topic. And so that's how I'm doing it. So it's easier to get it done versus I'm not actually like sitting there and doing that.
Okay.
So she does that. And then you have an editor who comes through. So everybody does it different. I'm choosing to self-publish. I didn't want to go through the agent. There's a lot of benefits now to self-publishing. So it's kind of crazy, but there's ways now to do it where if you want to audio it and get someone to help, there's ghostwriters. Or if you are a fantastic writer, a lot of women sit down and are actually writing out whole thing, but I'm super active in the process. So once they write it out, then I have to go in, clean it up and do that. But I anticipate that it'll be done, I think in about probably four to 6 months. So we'll see. I'm excited. Yeah. It's called Raise Your Hand.
Yes.
And it's all about asking for what you want. So
boom, which all of us need to do. And I just want to thank you for doing the book. And I'll tell you, so my dad and I are like besties. And he goes, he texted me a couple of days ago and he was like, Keisha, so when are you going to write a book? And I was like, Dad, I need to fail more before I have content for my book. Duh. So thank you for failing more so you could have content for your book.
Fail more. I love that. I've been thinking of some subtitles and playing around with stuff around like jump first, fail more. So I love that you called it.
Face plant.
What?
Belly flop. Face belly plant. Flop.
I'll keep you posted on the title. Yeah, but I love I love that feeling more. That's everything, you guys.
Yep. Just it's great.
Keep falling on your face.
Awesome. I love it. Okay. So the last two questions are the same for every episode. One of them is kind of like a curveball, and then the other one will tie this up in a bow. So the first one is, if you're feeling funky, like it, not funky, like good funky, but in a funk, what is your pump up? Like, I want a routine or like something that someone could do to take an action, and a song, because we have a Spotify playlist.
Nice. Ooh, I love this. Okay. For songs, I've got two real quick.
Okay.
One is September by Earth, Wind & Fire.
Oh my gosh. Did you know if someone gets married next September, that's a Saturday?
Wait.
Tell your friends. Yeah. Okay. September, you know, do you on the, you know, 21st of September, it's a Saturday in 2019. Yeah. Tell your friends. Then they can
tell all your friends.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh my God. Okay. I love it. Yeah,
continue.
I'm like sitting here looking at a calendar. It's like a really good jam. Yeah. If you guys have never heard it, come on now. It's like, yeah. Do you remember? September. So play that. Or Cool in the Gang. Get down on it. Come on now. Get down on it.
Okay.
Good so one. It's all these. Oh, I love the oldies. They just feel good.
Yeah.
So that's usually a good blast one. Those.
Okay.
And I like to move. I like to dance. I'm a very kinesthetic person. So for me, it's all about moving my body, fitness, going to a workout class, sweating. I think movement and exercise is the cure for depression. I think it's everything. And I know a lot of fit chicks probably listen to your show.
Yep.
But know that that is such a critical part of being a successful entrepreneur and leader, is taking care of you. And I take care of my energy like it's my full-time job, because it is. And so people always interview me and say, how are you like that? Why are you like that? Because, and they probably ask you that, like, how are you like that? Because I take care of myself. I drink a lot of water. I eat really healthy. I move my body all day, and I love life, and I surround myself with healthy people. So I've cleared all the boxes of toxicity and clear. Yeah. So I think it's important to ask yourself if the environment you're in is healthy, if your body is healthy. I know that's very controversial, but I think if you're not healthy, it's hard to be a leader and an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
These entrepreneurs that are super sick and unhealthy, I'm like, I don't know how you get work done. I don't know how you create content. Like, it's already exhausting even for us who are super high vibe. So getting yourself into that state, taking care of you, if that's a hiatus, if that's a break, if that's a nutrition plan, if that's weekly IVs to get vitamins in, if that's music, find what makes you feel really happy and alive. And that's contagious to other people. And that's what most people are attracted to and what they want to work with or what they want to be around, especially if you are looking to be a coach. I mean, people don't want to join a coach's team who's pissed off at life. So
that's great.
Usually it's exercise for me. I know that sounds a little cliche, but I would say a walk or a hike or an exercise class can usually get me from feeling like a piece of poop to
a ninja. Oh yeah. Okay. I thought you were going to say ninja.
But I like ninja. I guess I kind of am like a little ninja.
Because you're so like compact, and like, I feel like I could put you in my pocket and take you on an adventure. Okay. The final question is, I just want to give you space to say whatever you want to say to the person. This podcast is all about empowering people to take action, because I think that a lot of people are inspired and motivated, but they're not doing anything. So what would you say to the girl who's listening to this? Whatever little tidbit you want to give her, hey girl, take action. This is why.
I love this. I love this. And I know I mentioned a lot about action. We chatted a bunch about it already, but you're never going to be ready. Whatever that is you're doing. I can't stress that enough. As humans, I think everyone's waiting. They're waiting for their life to look perfect for the guy. They're waiting for the degree. They're waiting for to lose weight. They're waiting for the job. They're waiting for the severance. They're waiting to quit. They're waiting. We're just all sitting here waiting. And then you wake up one day and you're 80, and you know, it's such a quick process. So I think stepping into this game of life and realizing that you have so much more control than people have told us or taught us. I think we write the story. I think everything is a choice. And I think that if you're not willing to get started before you're ready, you're always going to be in the same place. So start before you're ready, and start when it feels a little bit uncomfortable. And that's probably when you're making progress. And trust that there'll be a net. Trust that you will have all of the skills you need, and whatever you believe in, God, source, universe, I think we're not doing this alone. And so when you believe in something bigger than you, you know that you're not just jumping into cold water. There's going to be something to support you. And yes. So that's kind of what I've used to really help me get through scary, scary shit. And I'm about to go do way more scary shit. So
yes,
it's just getting started.
Thank you so much. That's a perfect answer. And I just want to thank you truly. I know obviously we can joke around and have so much fun, but you have impacted my life. And I'm sure if people don't know you yet, they will. Aww. And making me, you know, punching me in the face in the bathroom. And no, I'm just kidding. But, you know, being so unapologetically yourself that it creates the space for other people to be like, you know what? I can do this too. And the work that you do, it really, really matters. Aww. So thank you for how you show up. Aww, and where can we find you? Obviously you love Instagram. Tell us where to find you.
Yeah. Instagram is my home. It's my jam. I actually will be releasing an Instagram course soon. I'm excited.
Tell us about it.
Instagram story to sell. So I don't have all the deets, but I'm excited. So follow me on Instagram at Angie Lee Show. DM me. I actually answer my DMs. I say, hey.
Yeah, you do. You creep hard in there.
Some weird shit. I love it.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Angie. You're amazing.
Thank you. I think you're incredible. I love your energy. And thank you so much for supporting me too. It speaks volumes about you supporting me, showing up to the event and the courses. And like, it just, you're such a leader and I can feel it. And that's why I was so excited to be on the show. So thank you for everything you're doing.
Thank you, Angie. Hey. Thank you so much for listening. If you love this episode, I would so appreciate it if you share with your girlfriends, or better yet, post it on Instagram stories and tag me. Then I can personally say thank you for helping me get this message out there. And if you didn't vibe with it, just keep that to yourself. I'm kind of new here, still trying to figure it all out. Talk to you soon, girl.